There are several kinds of golden rules in our lives. Can you list for me a golden rule of electricity? It takes the path of least resistance. Turn the power off before you work on it. Don't touch those two wires to your tongue. That's okay. Okay, what about golden rules with plumbing? Turn off the water first. I heard one close to that. It always takes three trips to the store whenever you're doing plumbing. Call a plumber. Okay. Okay. Yes. What about medicine? Golden rule. Do no harm. Okay. What about government spending? There is a golden rule. And it goes something like this. Never borrow money for expenses only an investment. I mean, never borrow money for expenses only for investment. Okay? Making espresso at home. I want to get some tips here. Golden rules? Rats! Grind your own beans. Grind no bean before it's time. Use good water. Okay. Netiquette. Have you heard of such a word? What is netiquette? Etiquette on the internet. Very interestingly, the one that's quoted is the one we're going to look at, the golden rule. It's an important rule. It's called golden because it's it relates to our lives in very, very concrete ways, and it relates to ethics. It relates to relationships. The golden rule, as it appears here, is, can you quote it basically for me? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now there's a tag in to that. What comes right after that? What's that? For this is the sum of the law and the prophets. It's very interesting what people do with this verse. Now, there are some who really like the teachings of Christ, and I do, but to the exclusion of basically the Old Testament and the epistles. And so their preference is for the Sermon on the Mount. Then when they get to this verse, for this is the sum of all the law and the prophets, they basically say, well, that's it. If you just do that, then basically you don't need the rest, do you? Even Jesus says, you know, this is the sum of the law and the prophets. Well, very often that's the problem.
Also, that's, you need an application of love to practice that rule.
You need an application of love. You need God's help to actually live this out. You can't eliminate God from part of this. When Jesus uses the words, for this sums up the law and the prophets, do you think he was saying, so the rest you can just kind of can?
I've always read it as the law and the prophets is what that God was using the law and the prophets to teach them.
Yes.
To love your neighbor as yourself.
And a very often the reason why people didn't like the law and the prophets was how it was misused. Jesus had a high view of what the law and the prophets said. And it was supposed to be kind of, if you will, a school teacher to teach us a lot of things about right relationship primarily, about relating to God and our deep, deep need for God's grace and mercy to live out an obedient life. So he wasn't canceling anything here. He was saying, this sums it up. This gives us a good reference point. The text is to be seen together with what's gone on before. The whole of Scripture, the Sermon on the Mount, the immediate context of the Golden Rule shows us how to live the Golden Rule. Remember, just before it, before this, the content is about prayer. Prayer is part of a relationship with God. To be able to live this golden rule, we need the effects of prayer in our life to live this golden rule. And following it, it talks about walking the narrow way. I think a characteristic of those who walk the narrow way is that they live this rule. Now, let's take a look at it. So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. So when you hear the word everything, to what do you think that word everything applies? We just want to say everything, don't we? Okay. Relationships. It has to do with relationships. So in all your relationships, do we have something so universal that it could apply basically across the board? Probably. We do have something. It's interesting to find that this is used so many times. And then it gives us a guide for living well in verse 12. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Now, do. Let's parse it a little bit. It's second person plural. So Jesus is standing on the mountain. Second person plural. He's speaking to you. To you. You. Everyone within hearing distance of Jesus, he's speaking to them. You, plural. It is a verb that is active and present. So it's something you need to be doing. It's present action. Be doing this
constantly.
You're in the present. Be doing this always in the present. It's a way of life. It's also in an imperative form. What does that sound like?
It's not a suggestion.
It's not a suggestion. Right here, we're getting, what would you say, the sum of all he's been teaching us in the Sermon on the Mount. It's kind of coming to a head right here. This is a focal point. Live this way. Here's all the content. Here's what it looks like. Do this, is what he's saying. Okay. An interesting thing that you point that out. This golden rule appears in among a lot of peoples. Confucius wrote it this way. Do nothing to your neighbor, which afterward you would not have your neighbor do to you. Make sense? Most everywhere you find it, outside the Bible, it's written this way. What do you notice about the way this is written? It's written negatively. So don't do to others what you do not want them doing to you. Okay? What's the difference between the way this is worded and the way Jesus spoke it? Love. You could do this and not love. Absolutely. Anything else that you see?
This is a command to keep your hands off, essentially. Yeah. What Jesus is saying is put your hands off.
His word is doing. It's like saying if you don't do nothing at all, if you do nothing at all, it's okay.
Yeah.
Really. Jesus is saying, get in there.
Get in there. Yes. It's proactive. Okay? So, you could have this kind of attitude. Well, I'm not going to do what I want to do. And keep your back to the person. Right? And think, I did it. I did just what this read. It's non-relational.
Papa, did you? Would you want someone to turn their back to you if you were in that time?
Ah, okay. There's a refinement. Even that has its problems, doesn't it? Even that has its problems. So, it's worded positively in this form. And there's a dynamic implied in this form that we engage, and you've mentioned that well. For this is sums up the law and the prophets. What would you say? There's simplicity in it. This is something that you can carry around in your head. You don't just have to carry it around in your pocket. You can actually, it's what?
Or on a scroll.
Very good. You can carry it around in your head and it can be a guide for almost any relationship, it looks like, in everything. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Do you remember the story? What does the story look like? The Good Samaritan. Let's go through the story. What happened to the poor person that is being helped? Okay, they were robbed and beaten. Left for dead. Okay? Yes? Treated with unkindness. What happened next in the story?
A lot of people went by and didn't do anything.
What kind of people?
A Pharisee
went by.
Religious people.
Religious people went by. They were doing the negative version of this, right? Mm-hmm.
I know the law. I can't touch that person or I will be unclean.
I was going to say to them, the Samaritan, because it was the Samaritan, he was unclean.
Samaritan was helping.
Helping.
Somebody of their own, like, their own kind.
another Samaritan, it was a Jewish person. And that he helped him regardless of the nationality and the enmity that was between the two kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the religious folks who passed by, if they had touched the man who was beaten and robbed, would then have been unclean according to the law and could not participate in worship in the temple.
So, in essence, they didn't do to the other person what they would not have liked done to them. But you can see how totally lacking that response was in the story. It missed the whole point. And yet we can do this. We can miss this point. There are times when we aren't careful about how we see people, how we look at people, how we relate to people. We can just simply pass by and ignore people because we just don't want the hassle of engaging. And so the Good Samaritan assumed the responsibility for the bill, even afterward, and guaranteeing the person's wholeness. Now, which way would you like to be treated? You know, I think this is kind of what I'm in this situation. I see this person in need. Which way would I rather be treated? That does kind of guide and direct. Okay, so what do you see so far? What things in this, does this story tell us about God?
He doesn't see our nationality or our, whether we're a Samaritan or a Jew, what color we are. He doesn't look at that.
Okay. Doesn't define it, keeps it pretty general so we don't end up qualifying it. Okay? Anything about humans?
They're more worried about their own spaceship than they are about someone else.
In this story, they're worried about more about their own station in life than the other.
What's the least I can do and meet the requirements? Yeah, right. That's very human. Yeah.
Ow! Wow! My goodness. Yes. So it's inconvenient, yes, and we do sometimes make decisions based on that convenience factor. We really do. Okay. Any questions about the story or about the golden rules? We've looked at it.
I
Read it as it's written. It's pretty simple stuff. Okay. If you... It will require... Sure. Well, it feels... It at times, it really feels like that, that we're having to die to self to be able to live this out. And this is why I would suggest that kind of the truly humanistic view of, this is it, we can do that. That's not right. We can't pull this off ourselves. This is something that we do graced by God. To have the spirit, the right spirit to do it, the right insight in the circumstances to do it, we have to be, need to be graced by God to really do this. One of the things that I find is that this sits in the context of prayer before and the narrow way following. And it is not meant to be thought of as a proverb for living apart from our relationship with God. Very often when we hear words, do to others what you would have them do to you, we forget that God is standing next to us or next to that other person. Here is the context of where our relationship with Christ is worked out, right here in these difficult relationships. Luke's version of the golden rule is set, that golden rule is sandwiched right in the middle of relating to people who behave like enemies to you and to me. Now, we can live this out if we see it is part of our relationship with God. Even doing the difficult can be a means of stoking the fire of our relationship with God. When we look at it from that perspective and not just another rule. When the relationship's in it, it can be part of living. I wanted to also talk about last week, but this is a summary for the big part. Some of you kind of laughed when you saw the picture. Ask, seek, and knock is about a relationship with God. You remember who is not like the human father, or not like the person who would give someone a stone for bread or a snake for a fish. God is not like that. I think the tender love of God expressed in those verses is more like this. Doesn't the tender love of God, when we are in prayer, asking, seeking is part of that relationship tending. It's part of it's where you learn about God in prayer. It's where your spirit touches the spirit of God. And that relationship is more like this tender moment between a father and son, as opposed to how we've sometimes looked at it. And then finally, for this application of this point, character is how you treat those who can do nothing for you. This is where the golden rule comes home. If you understand no one can do something for you, and you still behave well, you behave as Jesus calls you, to treat them as you would like to be treated, then we are living this out before Him. Let's stand and close in a word of prayer.